Children, excuse me, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You can see why that verse, or those four verses, would kind of be the ones that people would go to whenever they were talking about the parent-child relationship. Well, since the Apostle Paul, who is writing to Christians in Ephesus, begins with children, we're going to begin there too. Children, Scripture says, Paul says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. When you take a look at verses like this, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, you have to kind of pull it apart a little bit. The word obey is has a caveat attached to it immediately. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents, and stop right there. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, and there's your caveat. There are so many times where parents, when they are trying to train or raise their children, they say, children, it says in the Bible, obey your parents, and then they stop. And that's a gross misreading of this passage of Scripture. Because the caveat is very clear in the Lord. You see, we're dealing with a threefold relationship here. We're not just dealing with parents and children. We're dealing with the Lord. You remember last week when I said that even in marriage, there is this relationship with God at the top and the husband and wife at the bottom? Well, this is exactly the same thing. God at the top, parents and children are at the bottom. And if you're going to have this good relationship between parents and children, you've got to have this good relationship. The closer the children are drawing to Christ, the closer the parents are drawing to Christ, the less energy it takes to do this relationship. Unfortunately, we have this mentality or this sense of, I'm the parent, you're the kid, so children, obey your parents. And then we stop. You see, Paul's words are designed to let children know that God has given the responsibility of training, direction, discipline, guidance, primarily to parents. But unfortunately, our culture has shifted that responsibility. It isn't parents right now who are raising children. It's the school, or it's the social workers, or it's friends, or it's the internet, or it's social media. And children are just fine with getting their understanding of what it means to be a child from those different sources. And so then when a parent tries to reestablish themselves as the parent, the child bucks against that and rebels against that. Because, well, parents, they're just not cool. They're just not going to give me what I want. Whereas my friends and my social media groupies and my school, mostly they will. And so we have to understand, children, that the command here, and by the way, it is a command, it is an imperative. Obey is not a suggestion. It is an expectation. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, the sad truth is, unfortunately, a lot of parents are just abdicating their role as parents to all of these other things, and they're just saying, it's not worth the fight. I'm just not going to do that. And so all over the world, there are parents who are just saying, fine, If you don't want to be a part of my understanding and my training, then just go get it wherever you want to. The second expectation is found in verse 2. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Now again, this has one of those caveat things. And unfortunately, a lot of parents stop with, honor your father and mother. And they quit right there. The Bible says you have to honor your father and mother. The Bible says honor your father and mother because this is a first commandment with a promise that it may be well with you and you may live a long life on the earth. You see, we forget about the God part as parents. But both of these words, children, both of these words, obey and honor, are in the Greek, they're present imperative active verbs, which means that you are to be actively doing them now, and it is imperative that you are actively doing them now. Obeying and honoring are not suggestions, they are imperatives. This is a command. Now, to honor, what does it mean to honor? Well, to honor literally means that you highly value your parents. You respect them. Is that happening in our world today? Are parents being respected by their children? I've seen lots of illustrations where that is not happening, where children are incredibly disrespectful to their parents. There is no honor. There is no value. The children are not valuing their parents' wisdom, their experience, their morals, or their faith. When children see what parents are doing, they do almost exactly the opposite. And again, this isn't for kids that are, you know, Jet and Levi's age. This is for even children that are in their 60s and 70s. Because I've seen some children in their 60s and 70s who have parents in their 80s and 90s, and they are not respecting their parents. They are not honoring them. I've seen many examples of children who are dismissive of their parents, of, you know, again, all ages, ignoring them, doing the eye roll thing. Boy, that just is one of those things, that's one of those nonverbals that you just go, I know you didn't say anything, but your body language speaks volumes. The heavy sigh. Ugh. You know, it's just unfortunate that we have children who are pulling pranks on their parents because mom and dad are easy targets. And they laugh and they laugh and they think it's the funniest thing in the world because I can always get dad. He's just so dumb. Where is the honor? Where is the honor? Again, this is all about relationships. Children, your parents are not the enemy. So don't withhold information from them because you are afraid of disappointing them. Don't do that because that does not show honor to them. Allow them to be honest with you if you are honest with them. Tell them the truth. Love your parents because, trust me, no one loves you more than your parents love you. We could go on. And I know that there are situations out there where some people are saying, but I don't have any kids. Yeah, that may be true. But trust me, you are a kid. You have parents. And so while not everything in this sermon may fit you, there are parts of it that will. And maybe you are in a blessed situation where you can honestly take a look at the way that your children have been raised and the way that they are honoring you and the way that they are respecting you and the way that they are obeying you, even as they are growing older, and you are saying, you know, this just doesn't fit. Boy, you'd better be on your knees praying God and thanking Him for the blessings that you have received, because very few parents can honestly say that they have the perfect relationship with their kids. King David couldn't say that. Eli couldn't say that about his kids, Hophni and Phinehas, you know, the ones that offered unholy fire to the Lord. I mean, you look throughout Scripture, there are lots and lots. I mean, you don't even have to look past Adam and Eve to take a look at how their children disrespected them and their teachings. Committing murder? So I get it. I understand that we're not living in a perfect world. But Paul moves on as he moves away from the children and what he expects of them, and he moves into what parents are supposed to do. Now, in verse 4, he just simply says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And while the Greek word in there is father, it's translated father, this is not just about dads. This is about parents. Some people say that The reason that Paul used the word father in this is because he was the head of the family. Others say that the father was generally the strongest personality, and people looked to the father for the direction in the family. Because this was a patriarchal society, so it was appropriate to speak to fathers, but regardless, it really doesn't matter. We're talking about parenting. The word that is used of parents, do not exasperate your children. Don't provoke them, but instruct them. Instruct them. Let me tell you a little bit about this word exasperate. Let me go back one slide here. This word exasperate. Some translations say provoke to anger. Okay? Parents, don't act in such a way that the only response your children have is to be mad at you. I don't know how else I can say it. Don't act in such a way that the only response your kids have is to be frustrated and exasperated and angry and feel like they don't have any other options with you. Don't make them jealous for your time. Don't make them jealous for your love or your wisdom or your guidance. And believe me, it is not possible for you to teach and parent every children, if you have multiple children, exactly the same way, because they are different beings. My mom and dad often said, we tried to parent you kids all the same. It didn't work. Because you are not the same kid. You are different children, so we needed to learn about you. Now, my brother Andy was one of those kids that if you threatened to beat him, you know, spank him or whatever, he'd just say, bring it on. You know, that was kind of the way he was. You know, go ahead, I don't care. You can rip my arm off and beat me with the bloody end, I don't care. You know, it doesn't really matter. But there were other things that you could use to punish him. And my parents had to learn what it would take in order to discipline each child. You cannot parent each child exactly the same way because that is exasperating to the children. So don't do that. Don't even attempt it. Our job is to provide a spiritual environment for our kids. And I know lots of dads that say, I bring home the money, I put a roof over your head, I put food in your belly, I put clothes on your back. You should be grateful. And the child is exasperated because they need to know how much you love them. Parents, don't exasperate your children. You are guiding a soul on the road to eternity. You're not just clothing a human being. The second part of this is that part about instruction. If we don't teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. I saw that picture and I just thought, boy, isn't that true? If parents are not teaching their children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. It is so important. Now, here's the difficult part. How can I teach my children to follow Christ if I'm not doing it? How can I teach my children to be a disciple of Christ if I'm not a disciple of Christ? If I don't give 2 cents worth of time to God, if I don't hardly ever pray, if I never read the Bible, if all I do is take my kids to Sunday school and then hope that the church is going to raise them right, do you want to find out how exasperating that can be to a child? They come home and they see mom and dad doing whatever they want to, but kids, you got to go to church. You can't give what you don't have. And parents, I know that this is hard. Well, guess what? There is nothing in Scripture that says being a parent is easy. Nothing. Do you think that God had an easy time with us as his children? So instruct them. The real issue is, if I am going to instruct, I have to have something to give as instruction. And if I am content to just kick back, maybe go to church once in a while, you know, Christmas and Easter, if I'm just content to read the Bible only when things are tough, if I'm content just to pray only when somebody in my family is sick, well, guess what my kids are going to learn? If we have yielded our parental responsibility to, especially spiritual responsibility, to the Sunday school and to the church and to the youth group, our children will have an inadequate discipleship experience. We will do what we can, but that's not God's intent. But if we abdicate that responsibility, our children know it. Our children know that they have not been important enough for us to try to do everything we can to lead them to know and be a good disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I always have to give a disclaimer in any kind of a relationship. You see, the issue here is children will rebel against their parents. Parents won't always do what is right. I mean, we've seen examples of that in Scripture. Children will reject, they will protest, they will deny that Jesus Christ even exists, and that's not necessarily your fault. What is our responsibility is that we're supposed to love one another. We are supposed to love our children, and our children are supposed to love their parents. That's what we're supposed to do. But if a child decides that we're not worthy of loving, and if a parent decides that they have given up on their children and they're not worthy of loving, we're also missing the boat. The only thing that we can do is trust in the Lord to strengthen this relationship even when it seems like it's broken beyond repair. And I wish I knew how. I wish I knew in every situation exactly how I could repair the relationship and bring that child back into the home, which is what the word redemption means. Bring that child back into the home, kind of like the prodigal son. Unfortunately, that doesn't always happen. But what does always happen is that child and that parent are always in God's hands. Even when things don't seem like they are going to ever work out. That's the trust part. And I think sometimes that's the hardest part, because we don't always have all the answers. Children, obey and honor. Parents, don't exasperate or provoke to anger, and instruct. And trust the Lord. Love one another, for this is the command of God. We have a song that we're going to sing as we wrap things up. And the song is just simply designed to remind us that in this three-cornered triangle of love, with God at the top and parents and children at the bottom, we really have to surrender to God, surrender to Him fully. Would you please stand as we sing this song?